Hi, this is Andrew, and this is Keynote, the daily now.tv chat show with some of the world's leading thinkers and writers. Hello, everybody. It is Friday, June the 9th, 2023. We began the day in an interesting conversation with the Rome-based political philosopher Mark Lila. He has an interesting new essay out against nostalgia entitled The Once and Now on the excellent Liberties Quarterly. And in that essay, Mark writes about the relationship between nostalgia and photography. He asks why we take photographs. And he suggests that we take them as a kind of futuristic nostalgia, an attempt to capture the past in a way that will satisfy us in the present and indeed in the future. He suggests that sometimes photography is painful. Sometimes it's very pleasurable. The simple pleasures of self-recognition, of recalling happiness, of pride, of seeing life as a continuum, of reliving, and I guess relieving the journey. But he also says there's bitter with the sweet. And my guest today, as a follow-up in some ways to Mark Lila, is a chronicler of happiness and bitterness. He's a photographer. Jaloya Concepcioni was born and raised in Manila, Philippines, but he's been in the Bay Area, in the East Bay, over the bay from me, since 2017. And he has a fascinating new book out, Things You Wanted to Say But Never Did. It's a kind of collection of photographs and imageries and confessions that he aggregated from his Instagram page. It's a unique project, really quite remarkable in many ways. I think it's going to be the kind of book that becomes very well known. It's already the number one release in guided journals, and I'm thrilled and honored that Jaloy Concepcioni is joining us from El Sobrante today. Jaloy, congratulations on the book. It's just out.
Thank you so much, thank you for having me.
So tell me a little bit about this project. You sort of fell into it in an odd way, didn't you? It wasn't planned.
Yeah. So, you know, I arrived here in 2017, as an immigrant. You know, my first 3 years here, was the most, challenging years of my life. I had delays on my immigration. I couldn't fly home. I missed a lot of events. I missed a lot of funerals, weddings, birthday celebrations, and I think those 3 years are just really challenging for me, and all the thoughts just bottled in, and then realized, okay, if I had all these thoughts, people should have them too. So I asked the question, what are the things you wanted to say but never did on Instagram? And then, I think that on the first time, 30 people answered the question, and then it just kept growing.
It's more than just, though, a textual confession. As I said, you're trained as a photographer. That's your day job, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Your photography is remarkable. A lot of the stuff is about somehow capturing the humanity in people. So what you've done is you've put together people's confessions. I'm not sure whether that's the right word, people's thoughts, what they send to you, with images. So here we have, for people just listening, you need to get the book. It's a very visual kind of conversation. The one we have up on screen at the moment is a rather blurred photo of a young woman with "I take pictures so I can remember," almost along the Mark Lila theme. So what did you do, Jaloy? You got people to respond to your Instagram post, and then you join that with your own photography. Is that correct?
Yeah, the first part of the project, you know, the one main reason I did it is to just upload, you know, to use photos that I think that were unusable. And then so the first part of the project, I used all my photos, archival photos, and then I ran out of it. So now I'm just using photos from my audience, or you know, I go to like thrift shops and buy abandoned photos, or you know, to give it like a new life, you know. but
to bring real life back to life. As one headline suggests, you make art from the things that are left unsaid, although you're an art maker anyway. I mean, as I said, the humanity of your photography is very compelling. Another piece of yours talks about the unending humanity of your photographs. Some of these things, I have to admit, I've been browsing through them this morning, Galoy. They're heartbreaking. Here's one on Instagram. Hey, Galoy. Hey, Jaloy. I've been struggling with depression for almost 15 years. I know I'm ready to end it all. I just don't know when. So last year, I scheduled the day in 2020 to do it. That day is today. And this is also the day that I came across your project. I just wanted to say thank you. And I just wanted you to know that your project saved a life today. Please keep going, XX. I mean, couldn't get anything more moving and troubling and meaningful than that. How did you respond when you were getting these sorts of messages from complete strangers?
Well, you know, one of the rules that I have in the project is to never respond to them. But that particular note, when I read it, that's when I realized, okay, now the project is, you know, beyond me. So it's bigger than me. So I need to find a way to, you know, to keep it going.
Did you have to get, I guess, since you don't know who these people are and they're all anonymous, you don't need their permission to publish these photos?
Yeah, it's part of the instructions, you know, of the project. Like, I have questions there that, okay, are you allowing me to share this, or you know, in the project or publicly? And then, you know, most of them say yes. And yeah, it's all anonymous. I don't even know I won't even know if we're gonna meet each other personally ever. But yeah, it's completely anonymous, 100%.
Jaloy, the book suggests that that this work, the photographs, the image, the text, it's a stunning reminder of art, the role of art in time at a time of personal and global unrest. You, of course, came in 2017, just before COVID, before Black Lives Matter. Do you think that this is a particularly unusual time, particularly when it comes perhaps to people's mental health? And that's what so many of the images and ideas and revelations in your book discuss.
Yeah, you know, I didn't even plan, you know, for the project to be this big. But yeah, I guess, you know, it just started with me feeling isolated, and then you know, the pandemic happened, and then we were all isolated and we were all locked down. So I and then we all had like our time to you know, have conversations with ourselves, and I think the project just came in the right time for me.
Well, it certainly came at an interesting time for you. You had a young daughter and your wife. I know there's a story that when all this broke, you went back to your wife and you said, I think this is something very serious. What happened, and what did you say to your wife, and what did she say to you?
Yeah, because before I started the project, you know, the pandemic happened. I got my work permit. So I was like super happy. I can now become a photographer again. And then the pandemic happened. I'm like, okay, no way I'm becoming a photographer in the pandemic. So I told my wife, okay, listen, if I sell all my gears, maybe I can give you more, maybe $4,000 to $5,000, so we can like have an allowance until I look for a work, like, you know, and like a dishwasher or you know. And then I started the project. I think the second week I got 80 more responses, and then I started to feel like, you know, like, okay, I think we're starting. I started something here. I told my wife, you know, I clearly remember, like, it was we were about to sleep, and then I told her, I told her, hey, I think, you know, I started something wonderful or you know, useful.
What did she say?
She's very happy. You know, she's always supportive with my work, and then she's like, you know, like she say, well, people trust you. You know, and you just need to keep going.
Yeah, you're the man with the camera, Jaloy. Do you think that brings out people's trust more or less? The people, does that make you suspicious? In many ways, you're a street photographer. A lot of your work focuses on local Filipinos. Wonderful photo of a 78-year-old Filipino woman bringing care to Sacramento area seniors. What does walking around with a camera, being known as the man with a camera, does that make people trust you more? Because we live in an age of such saturated photography. Everyone thinks of themselves as a photographer. Everyone carries around their smartphone, which is in some ways a sophisticated camera. I wonder how people respond to you differently because you're a professional photographer.
Well, you know, I always walk on the streets, especially in San Francisco, like every Friday. But I never took photos of anyone without talking to them. So, you know, it's always about conversations first. And, you know, I'll just tell them, like, my intentions, you know, like, hey, can I take your picture after our conversation? You know, I really like to have, you know, to record this event. And, you know, I feel like people would love to like see what happened to our conversation. So yeah, it's always conversations for me. And then most of the time, maybe like 4 or 5, 6 out of 10 people will be like, oh no, it's okay, maybe next time, or you know. But there will always be people like, oh yeah, just take the picture, yeah, I'd love to see it.
Jaloy, in the old days, in the 19th century, when photography was invented, some people were rather fearful that the image was somehow capturing their soul or their essence.
Yeah.
I'm sensing something deeply spiritual, although maybe not formally religious, about your work and yourself. Is there something when you take someone's photo, when you capture their essence, when you capture who they are as a human being? Is there something religious about it?
Well, I'm a faithful guy, you know. So I'm always always feel like doing, you know, whenever I take pictures of someone, like you know, they become part of my life too. And you know, I remember all the people that I took photos of. So yeah, it's always yeah, divine thing, you know, for me personally. And it may not be like the same for them, but it's always for me. And yeah, that's why I love like taking pictures, you know, it to almost an extent of being obsessed with it.
What can you get in a picture, Jaloy, that you can't get somewhere else? What are you looking for when you take that photo of the person you've talked to on the street that would be hard to find in other ways?
Well, you know, for me, it's not the like the visual aspect of it, but, you know, I always believe that, you know, photographers can always like, they have the power to like pack with the photo with the soul, you know, of the moment. And, you know, we can see like the same images taken by different photographers, but it will like give us like different feelings, you know. That's just me.
Do you think, I mean, you're not a priest, of course, but yeah, in a way, all this book, Things You Wanted to Say But Never Did, that's the sort of thing that Catholics, and you're from a Catholic culture in the Philippines, mm-hmm, that's what people used to say to priests. And a lot of the work, a lot of the photos, like, I still look for you in everyone I meet, are enormously confessional, very personal. They reflect the fragility of people. Is there a confessional element here, but in a different kind of way from when people formally confess to priests?
Oh yeah, you know, I'm just a person too. I can't, you know, I can't reply. You know, my only way to share the works is through my Instagram. But you know, one thing that I promised them is that I'm gonna read everything. You know, because people, they most of them, they don't really care about, you know, being published or being put in a book, or you know. Most of them, I feel like they just want someone to read the notes, you know. And yeah, that's just what I'm doing, you know. It's really, it's really funny because I really didn't like expect, or I didn't think about that I'm gonna do a project like this, because you know, I'm a photographer, I take pictures, like. Yeah, it's just didn't expect anything of, like, it will be like this.
Are you sometimes troubled with the fact that people are telling you all this stuff and yet there's not much you can do? And a lot of the notes are pretty depressing. One of them, all I ask is to be free from my demons. Another one, I'm afraid the idea of me is far more interesting than the reality, so I can't let anyone close. A third, I have all these feelings and I don't know what to do with them. There aren't answers here. I mean, some of them are more encouraging, but do you sometimes feel like responding? And again, I talked about being a priest. You're also in an odd way a therapist, except that you're not acting as a formal therapist. You're just listening. You're not really able to respond.
Yeah, that's why I think the response that we're, you know, we're looking for, you know, we can see that in the comment sections when I post something, you know, that's where the community was built, mm-hmm, you know.
People also like, a community. So you have, yeah, a community on Instagram. I mean, you've got an enormous following, an enormous community on Instagram. You have 712,000 followers. You follow 3,800, and then you have 612 posts. So this was all through word of mouth. And is Instagram your key platform? Do you not do this on Twitter or any of the other, TikTok or the other social media platforms?
Yeah, Instagram's the only platform I'm doing this, and then I'm sharing somewhere. I'm sharing in it in Facebook, but like the main platform is Instagram. But and I'm planning to like I'm doing a website right now, but it's still in the works.
What do you think of social media? Enormously controversial. We've done, mm-hmm, a number of shows on social media. The Surgeon General, the doctor, the American sort of formal doctor, came out with a warning about social media, but the way you're using it seems pretty good, pretty positive, pretty healthy. Are you yourself a fan of social media, or are you in some ways troubled by it?
Yeah, to be honest, like when I was still in the Philippines, you know, now being a photographer, I'm like, I'm really like, don't like the idea of Instagram. But yeah, when I got here, you know, I couldn't walk outside, take pictures. I don't have like any assignment. So, you know, the only way I can do like a work or a project that will reach people was through social media. So yeah, but I really believe, I think the issue is valid, you know. But I guess, you know, social media, it was given to us, like, we don't have any clue about it. So I feel like there should just be like a, you know, education about it, how to use it, or, you know, the proper ways to navigate.
How should, I mean, in terms of your experience with this project, how should and shouldn't people use platforms like Instagram? I mean, Instagram has a reputation for people showing off their beauty, their happiness. Your project's the reverse.
Yeah, I've been, there's a lot of people have been saying, you know, my work is anti-Instagram or, you know.
But, anti-Instagram, and yet it's on Instagram.
Yeah, but when I started it, like, I really don't have, like, that purpose or aim to, you know, oh, I'm going against the system or something, you know. I just really wanted to, like, give a safe space for people, you know. And reading letters from Iran, Afghanistan, Serbia, and you know, I won't be able to reach those people without social media.
Yeah, and you note those countries, places like Iran, which are highly repressive. You're from the Philippines with a great deal of political controversy. I know you work with Rappler, run by my old friend Maria Ressa. I'm actually, who just won the Nobel Prize for Peace, very brave woman, brilliantly brave and remarkable woman. I'm actually going to Manila in September to speak at one of her conferences. How has this project gone down in the Philippines with the people you know? Have you been turned into a kind of celebrity there?
No, but you know, I guess because a lot of people followed my work there. But you know, I'm always like when I visit the Philippines, it's always the same. I stay in Pandacan, you know. I have my friends there. People can always visit me at home, and I just do everything that I've done before. Just walk outside the streets, take pictures. I always try really to accommodate everyone, like, you know, like, hey, can we meet? And I'm always trying to, like, accommodate everyone.
It's quite remarkable. Tell me a little bit about how you trained to be a photographer. Did you go to formal photography school, or you essentially learned it on the street?
No, actually, I started as a street artist, graffiti artist. You know, so I first started, you know, painting walls around the, like that one. I painted the one.
Yeah, here we have an image for people just watching, an image of a wall in Manila.
Yeah, so we started doing that, and then
Candacan, which at least according to this description is one of the roughest parts of Manila. It's a pretty rough town, so I'm guessing it's quite rough, that area.
Yeah, so I started meeting people, you know, looking for when we were like looking for walls, and then, you know, my attention shifted to the people that I'm meeting. So I thought, you know, I need to look for a medium to tell stories of these people. So yeah, that's when photography came into my life. But yeah, I studied the fine arts major in advertising. We had a photography subject, I think, in second year. You know, I got my camera. I think I was the last one to get a digital camera, and you know, our family paid for it for almost 3 years. Yeah.
What kind of camera do you use?
At that time, we bought the Nikon D90. That was my first camera, and you know, my mom told me, you know, we paid 3 years for that. You should use it, like you should use it properly. So I thought, like, you know, I should be, you know, should be good.
Yeah, you'll have to work with the my friend owns a photo shop in Berkeley, Looking Glass Photo. You should definitely do a presentation there. I mean, do you consider yourself a professional photographer in the way in which professional photography is an industry in the United States, or are you a response to that kind of professionalism of the art?
Yeah, you know, I'm doing editorial works, you know, for New York Times, for, you know, that was my dream when I first came here, to be a professional photographer, and I'm still working on it. Yeah, but, you know, I feel like as long as I take pictures, you know, I'm a photographer.
Yeah, you are. I mean, I'm doing a show actually later in this month with Roger Ballen, you know, who's a American photographer in Africa. So I'm particularly, I mean, it's rather ironic to do all these conversations with photographers on a podcast show when not everyone can see the imagery. You again, it's the first time we've met, Jaloy, so I don't want to make too many generalized observations about you, but you seem a very positive person. You have this this t-shirt, for example, that you sell online. Bad days are temporary. There's something enormously optimistic, it would seem, about you. Where does that come from? Is it just natural?
Oh yeah, you know, one thing, you know, I feel like that's why I can do the project, the things you wanted to say but never did project, is because, you know, my childhood was, I don't really have like any traumatic experience happened to me. My childhood was pretty normal. You know, we're not rich, but, you know, our family is okay. You know, I have loving siblings and parents. And I've always been like, you know, that's why when people meet me, like, we thought you're like a super serious person because of the project, but yeah, always trying to find the you know, light in any situation.
Well, the nicest one in the book that I've seen, at least, is a photograph that says, it is an honor to love you. So I'm assuming that some of the messages and some of the art in the work is quite positive, and I'm assuming, Jaloy, quite personal for you.
Yeah, a lot of there are also a lot of like notes that are, you know, affirmative, positive, and hopeful. So I always try, when I see one, you know, I always try to include it, because they don't usually. I don't usually receive messages like them, so I when I receive one, I always try to get it on board.
Yeah, it's really nice. Have you had much response from the Instagram people? Of course, Instagram's business model, they're owned by Facebook, quite controversially. Mm-hmm. They sell advertising, so they're benefiting in many ways from your project. Are they supportive? Have you had much interaction?
Actually, no, we don't have like any. I didn't hear anything from them.
Yeah, you know what would be good? Maybe Mark Zuckerberg will let you into his home and you can photograph him. I'd be interested in your photographs of Zuckerberg. what do you think those would be like?
Oh, that could be nice. You know, I've seen in one time in MoMA. In San Francisco, and I'm like, hey Mark, no, this is just he left already, but you know, I was supposed to ask, do you have a job for me?
Because
I think my first year in America, you know, I don't have like a job, and you know, and then I saw him when I was supposed to say it, he walked out, so. Yeah, he didn't hear it.
Well, if he's watching, Jaloy, what would you like to say to old Zuckerberg?
Well, you know, you're in a really rough, you know, challenging spot right now. But you feel like you owe us a lot of explanation.
Yeah, I think probably you should let you run Instagram. Would you run Instagram if he gave you the opportunity?
No. No, that's too much responsibility for me. Yeah, but